Teresa, bless her heart, she tried to do her best to lovingly comfort and to find out what in the world was gripping me so. I could not get it out. I could not talk. It was just so very in my face. And I had a rough morning, and I realized that it was just a dream. But the reality and the depth of grief was in my face once again, even after those many years, for a time. And I'm sure many of you have had that kind of situation take place where you're just grieving inconsolably so. You're just heartbroken. That's a good description of it, isn't it? Just you have a broken heart, and it just seems like there's no way that someone can console you. This morning we're embarking on a new series in 2 Corinthians. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're calling this a book of reconciliation. And if you remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul admonished the church to discipline a man who had been involved in sexual immorality. The church, as a result of Paul's instruction, did put the man out of their fellowship. And in 2 Corinthians, we're going to discover that the man repented. And Paul instructs the church to forgive the man and to be reconciled with this individual. Thus, 2 Corinthians, based on that situation, as well as some other things that we'll point out, is a book of reconciliation. We will learn more about the specifics of that situation when we get to the corresponding text. But as you could imagine, there would be a lot of emotions involved in such a situation. Thoughts like, how could he do such a thing? Oh, man, I can't believe he would do that. Or there may have been some others in the church. Why would the church even stick their nose in that guy's business? Or, and he was such a close friend. I should have seen it. I should have come alongside. I should have helped him out. Or is there even any hope for this guy? Or is there any hope for the church? You could just imagine the emotions that would be involved in this. And Paul begins this whole book talking about the matter of comfort, establishing this matter of comfort. So follow as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I have a few comments as we go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Now, Paul introduces himself as the writer of the book. He's accompanied by Timothy. Timothy was a partner in ministry. He was probably there with him while he was writing the book. Timothy probably didn't have much input into the book. But Paul identifies himself as an apostle by the will of God. It wasn't his own appointing. He didn't say, you know what, I think I'm going to be an apostle. No, God appointed him as an apostle, and thereby this establishes his authority as one who was to be heard and to be followed. Timothy, a partner in ministry. And he was writing to the church and all the believers at Corinth, as well as believers in the surrounding area called Achaia there. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul points out here that grace, which is an indication of salvation, precedes peace. If you are here this morning, you're looking for peace, you need to come to Jesus in salvation. You cannot experience peace until you know the God of all peace, who provides peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that things are settled between you and God. When things are settled between you and God by His salvation, then there's peace. Trust in the Lord for His peace, for His salvation, and then experience His peace. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. So here's our take-home thought here this morning, and that is rely upon your reliable God for indispensable comfort. Rely upon your reliable God for indispensable comfort. The comfort of God is very real and is essential to true comfort. And I say true comfort because it's not the comfort like when your dog sees you upset and you cry and the dog comes up and it's like, is everything okay? And wiggles and lays his head on your lap and you're like, oh, thank you. You know, it feels so good. You know, I'm so glad. It's not that kind of comfort, okay? We're not looking for that kind of comfort. The comfort of God is not a passive materialization. In other words, God's comfort doesn't come upon you in mysterious fashion. There are some definite correlating factors that provide for the comfort of God. And it comes from His Word directly from His Word. I think of Romans 15:13. It says, may the God of all hope, isn't that what we need when we're going through a difficulty or grief? We need hope. You know, that we're going to make it through. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. Again, the joy and peace is a result of your trust, your faith in God, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have the comfort of God based on biblical truths and biblical principles. And it results from your faith and your trust in Him. So let's look at some certainties out of this passage. Things that you can count on. Realities regarding the comfort of God. And these are matters of which you need to believe. And if you believe these, they help provide that comfort. The first one is, God is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Believe it. As you face a challenge, as you face a difficulty, as you're going through grief, believe, you know what? God, you tell me that you're the God of all comfort. And this is a situation in which I need to believe that. And the question is, do you believe that? And of course, believing that in itself provides comfort. God, I know that you provide comfort, and I cry out to you for that comfort. Believing that God is with you. That's a faith statement upon which you depend. The word comfort here is the same word describing the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have heard this before. The Greek word is, when it refers to the Holy Spirit, is paraclete. In this text, it's the paraclesis, the comfort of God. In John 14, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. In the New International Version, it says another counselor. In the King James, it says another comforter to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him. He's talking to believers. He's talking to you. This is a statement of faith. You know Him for or because He dwells with you. Listen to this. And will be in you. Isn't that awesome? That you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. I shared this with my life group a while back. And you know, when we get to heaven, we think, oh man, it'll be so great to meet Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Elijah and Elisha and talk about the great miracles that they did. And it'd be so exciting to talk to David and all that he went through and all that he experienced. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was it like to walk through the fiery furnace, you know? And we think, man, that's going to be pretty exciting. But you know what? I think what's going to be fascinating is when we get to heaven, that they're going to come running up to us. Could you imagine David running up to you and say, hey, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit of God in you all the time? And that's what Jesus says. And again, we're not looking for this whomped up feeling. This is a faith statement that we believe that He is with you. He is in you. Here in this text, this word means, speaking of the Holy Spirit, He is the one who is called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit is one who is called alongside to help you in whatever your situation is. And He lives in you. Isn't that awesome? And His comfort is your essential comfort. It is indispensable. All other attempts at comfort fall short. His comfort is sufficient. Here's another certainty, and that is God provides comfort for all your difficulties. He is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction. You see that in verse 4? Literally, for every trial that you experience, large or small, hangnail or holocaust, the word here has the idea of a tight or narrowing space. I grew up in Hinckley, Ohio, where the buzzards return to Hinckley every March 15th. Okay, that's for another day. But anyway, the buzzards go to Buzzard's Roost on March 15th, and there's this park there, it's called Whip's Ledges. And it's part of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park and everything. It's called Whip's Ledges. And Whip's Ledges has all kinds of cliffs and rock formations and caves and tunnels and crevices. And when I was a kid, man, we would just go there. We would spend hours. In some of those situations, we would say, hey, let's climb up through this and go through this crevice here. And I mean, I'll tell you, there were some places where we'd get in really tight. And you know, have you ever been in that situation where it's like you get your head caught and you're kind of like, I don't know what to do. And it just, you know, breathe, you got to relax, you know, and just, okay, I can do this. And then we would squeeze through. That's what this word is talking about. It's called, the word is phlipsis. And he's talking about situations that are pressing in upon you. God is the God of all comfort in all your flipsises, all your difficult situations, every tight squeeze you find yourself in, any situation that's pressing in upon you. He provides comfort for every tight situation in every way. That's a certainty. Here's another one. And that is God provides purpose in trials. Look at verse 4. And again, these are things, these are principles we take from this passage to comfort you, to help you when you face these difficult situations. And get this, some of you and some of the people around you are in those kinds of situations right now. God provides these to help us. Here's another certainty, and that is God provides purpose in trials. Verse 4, He who comforts us in all our affliction, so that, that's something that says, here's why. So there's purpose in what you're experiencing when you're going through the difficult situation, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So take heart, be encouraged. If you don't understand why you are facing a particular difficult situation, God says right here that if for no other reason, it is so that you will be able to help others, so that you can come alongside others and help them who might find themselves in a similar situation. That means that you need to learn how to rely upon the Lord in your particular situation so that you're able to help another in a similar situation. Again, God's comfort is not a passive materialization. Your trial, the one in which you need the comfort of God, is designed to help you learn from that so that you might be able to help someone who might be in the same kind of situation. Think of the whole matter of grief. When I was in college at Cedarville, I was on a ministry team and I had opportunity to periodically give testimony and so on. I started out my freshman year and we would do chapels once in a while and so on. And our campus pastor, Pastor Harold Green, came to me my junior year and he said, "Dale, I know that you've been through this with your brother. I know about your accident and so on." Because I hadn't spoken much about this. And he says, "I want to encourage you to use that as a testimony to help others." Well, it wasn't easy to speak of that at that time. Very fresh in my mind. But I did. And what Pastor Green was doing is he was teaching me the principle of this passage. Dale, to the extent that God has helped you and has comforted you through this difficult situation, allow God to use that through you to help others. That's what God is saying here, that there's purpose in what we experience when we go through those difficulties. That's a certainty. And that should encourage our hearts. Say, you know what, I don't know why this... Isn't that one of the first questions we ask when we're going through something difficult? Oh, why? And yet God says right here, I want to comfort you through this, teach you, help you through this, so that you can take this and help someone else. Here's another certainty, and that is ministry challenges are shared. You don't go it alone. Look at verses 5 through 7. "For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Excuse me. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." Paul is speaking specifically here concerning the challenges of ministry. And first of all, he speaks of the sufferings of Christ. Look at verse 5. "We share abundantly in Christ's suffering." Christ's suffering is an example to us as to the fact that His suffering provided for your salvation and mine, if we would believe. He, you know, you remember when He was in the garden and He said, "If it is possible, may this cup pass from me." I mean, He was experiencing the knowledge and because of His sovereignty and His providence, understanding the grief, the pain and suffering that He was going to experience. And He was doing that. He knew it for that He was going to do that for to pay the sin debt of sinners like you and me. He knew that. But not only did He know that, He understood the joy that was set before Him. And He endured the cross. He saw the bigger picture. He understood that if it possible that this cup would pass from me, and he knew that He would have to go through that, and yet He understood the ultimate goal of salvation through Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. And so we share in that suffering. The world hated Him, and it will hate you too. As you live for Christ, you're going to experience some measuring of suffering due to your faith. If you are standing for Christ, you need to realize, and here in here, it's pretty safe, isn't it? We're not going to have our faith challenged too much within these four walls. But when we go outside these four walls and we proclaim, "Neither is there salvation in any other, but there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." All these other ways are wrong. There are people who are going to hate you for that. They aren't going to agree with you. But even as we stand strong and true, realize, you know what? They hated Christ before they hated you and me. The passage goes on, verse 5. So, through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too, because of Christ, you have the opportunity to see the bigger picture in whatever it is that you experience. Just like he understood that the cross was essential to know of the resurrection and the salvation for the many who would believe. Whatever it is you're facing, to understand, you know what? God is faithful. There is a bigger picture here. And so just as we share and understand the sufferings of Christ, we understand a bigger picture here. Paul goes on to say, if he is afflicted, it is so that the Corinthians could be comforted because he would share with them how and in what way or what ways he was comforted through the trial. And if he was comforted, it was for their comfort if or when they experienced affliction. And later on in 2 Corinthians, we're going to see what all Paul went through. If you want a little glimpse into that, go to chapter 11. Not now, but go to chapter 11 and you can see. If you haven't read that before, it will blow your mind all that this man went through for the cause of Christ and the gospel. And we don't experience anything like that. And what he's talking about here is shared ministry, so that when he went through those things and he learned and grew, that he experienced comfort, he was passing it on to people. And if they went through difficulty, it was for his comfort. He was saying, it's reciprocating here. We're in this together. The point is that whatever challenges you face, you don't go it alone. God is with you, and we are in this together. I think of our ministry together, and we were rejoicing in the offering, coming in at 98% for the end of the year. It's like, yes, no one person did that. We did that together, right? That's exciting, and we share in that. That's an encouragement, and we're just rejoicing together in that. Ministry challenges are shared, and the encouragement is don't react when someone comes alongside to comfort or encourage you. You know, every once in a while I hear, and a lot of times it's not, someone will say something to the effect of, man, I know what it's like, or I know what you're going through. And I've heard people say, maybe not to their face, but they'll say, they have no idea what I'm going through. And you know what? They may not. They may not fully understand all that you're going through. But that may be an attempt. So be gracious when someone comes to you like that, tries to encourage you. But even if you're the one who's trying to go comfort, be sensitive. Because you really don't know all that they're going through, but you may have been through something like that. But allow God to use that person to come alongside, to be an encouragement, to comfort you, so that in your situation, you will grow as well, so that you may be able to help others. So that's the text. We've walked through the text here. But I want to look, as a result of what we've learned here, I want to look at some implications, or as I have in the notes there, ramifications. Things. How do we take these principles here and how do we apply it to life and ministry here at FBC? Your own life and our ministries. All right? So here's the first one. And I think what we've learned here, what we're learning here, is ramifications for grief of all kinds. We've already alluded to that. I often share this at funerals. I've had 244 funerals over the last 20 years here at FBC. That's one a month on average. 244. And oftentimes, we'll have, like, the casket would be here. And I always ask, when is the family arriving? Whether it's here or whether it's at the funeral home. When is the family arriving? And it's usually a half an hour to an hour before the funeral. And I'll gather the family around after things settle down a little bit, and I'll say, hey, folks, I just want you to know that we're praying for you. And I share this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3. I usually just read verses 3 through 5. And I say, I want you to know that God is a God of all comfort, and He comforts you in at least three ways. So I want to share those ways with you. First of all, He comforts through His Word. Right here, you're learning that God is a God of all comfort. All right? His Word. There are other passages that can help you. And I would encourage you to jot these down. My mom claimed Deuteronomy 33:27 when we were going through the loss of my brother. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. It's like, oh man. I quoted that verse more than once going through those challenges. Just like, you know, God's got this. He's there to help us. And what a blessing. Just understanding that passage and meditating upon that was to the family and to me personally. Romans 15:13, I already quoted that just a little bit ago. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. James 1, to counter pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, any kind. And that God is using that to help you grow. Here's another good study, and that's Genesis 37 through 50. Now that's a study of the life of Joseph. And you think about all the flipsies that Joseph went through. I mean, you know, he was sold by his brothers. His brothers throw them into this pit and then sell him as a slave down into Egypt. And he tries to do the right thing, and he's falsely accused, and he's thrown into prison. And he didn't even do anything wrong. And while he's in prison, he's forgotten for like 2 years. So he goes through all of these things. And yet in chapter 50 and verse 20, we learned it, as Joseph learned, his brothers intended it for evil, but God intended it for good, the saving of many lives, you see. If you want to learn principles of how do I get through the difficult situations in my life, study the life of Joseph. I think of Romans 8:28 and 29. We know that all things work together for our good, to conform us to the likeness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, that our light and momentary affliction, speaking of the difficulties we go through in this life, are nothing to be compared to the glory that we receive when we go to see to be with Him. Just a tremendous passage of encouragement. Think of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul cries out to God to remove his thorn in the flesh at least three times. God, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Meditate upon that and understand that when you are going through whatever it is you're going through, that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then how about the book of Psalms? I mean, especially for the guys, I mean, there are a lot of short chapters. You know, we can go to the Psalms and like, we can get through a chapter in no time, you know, eight verses, you know, or whatever it is. But how many of us, how many of you have just gone to the Psalms, just God, you don't know where else to turn when you're going through that difficult time, you go to the book of Psalms. God comforts through His Word. And there's so much more. He also comforts. I don't go into that detail when I'm talking to the family grieving at a funeral. But I say God comforts through His Word, but He also comforts through His presence. God says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He tells us, as we've learned here this morning, of His Holy Spirit, who is not just with you, but is in you. And all that He stands for, all who God is, should provide comfort as you understand Him in a greater way. Think of our series on Sunday mornings during our Bible study time. Knowing God. To know God is to understand His greater comfort for us. So He comforts through His Word, He comforts through His presence, but He also comforts through His people. Just as we've learned here in this passage. The comfort that we receive, we pass on to others. And you comfort others by your presence. Sometimes you don't know what to say. You know, someone has been killed tragically or something, you walk up and you go, I have no idea what to say. You just give them a hug. You might say, I'm praying for you. And then pray for them. But just your presence can be of help. But not only that, and here's something that people at FBC do well. We need to do it even better. But I'll tell you what, I'm so blessed by the care that you take for one another. You know, so often when someone's going through a difficult time, I hear of, hey, you know, someone's already got a meal train going. Or I couldn't believe the number of phone calls or text messages or cards that I received. The visits, all of those kinds of things. What a blessing. You know, keep that up. Keep that up. And look for those opportunities in light of what we've talked about here today. So the first one is grief. Another ramification is intensive, specific discipleship. That which helps in specific, intensive counseling situations, we teach others. This passage speaks to our counseling ministry. To the extent that we have learned to deal with life situations, we want to help others. It may be grief. It may be discouragement. It may be depression or loneliness. It may be a life-dominating sin. It may be anger. It may be worry, fear, addictions, lust, relationship issues. The point here is that we learn how to help others in those difficult, intensive situations. And that's a matter to which this passage speaks, that we want to come alongside others. And in order to do that, we need to learn. And we have, right now, on Wednesday afternoons, Pastor Doug teaches care and discipleship training. And then on Thursday nights, when we have a good group to meet, I teach care and discipleship training as well. Right now, we're not meeting regularly, but if there is a group that would be willing to meet Thursday evenings, I'm available and would like to help you with that. But the point here is that that's a way in which this passage can be applied. And here's one other way, and this can help all of us, and that is general discipleship. This passage speaks to that which we learn, we pass on to others. What specific disciplines should every believer develop in their walk with God? And as you learn those things, you pass it on to others. We ought to all be reading the Bible, involved in some kind of scripture memory or meditation, prayer, attending worship services, learning and applying it. Reading good theological material, other than stuff that's going to strengthen and support our understanding of the Scriptures. And then, how do we put it into practice? How do you live it out? We ought to be sharing that with one another. And you know what? This passage really reinforces the importance of our commission as a church. We're commissioned to go and make disciples. And the point there is that we need to pass on what we've learned to others so that they can learn it, so that they can learn it in such a way so that they can pass it on to others. That's discipleship. The comfort that we've received, the things that we've learned, we pass on to others. So as we look at this passage, I want to encourage you, trials have benefits. James 1 says that trials are going to help you grow. They teach you truths that you might not learn any other way. Trials may be for discipline and correction. They can be a means of witnessing to others the mercies of God. I've seen many of you in the hospital be a tremendous testimony to others about God and how God has worked or is working through your particular situation. In John chapter 9, we learned that a trial might be just simply so that you can bring glory to God, so that God's glorified through it. But here in 2 Corinthians, you learn that another benefit is that of gaining comfort that you can pass on to others. You look for those opportunities. As you're going through, as you have gone through situations, what can I learn? What is God teaching me? How can I grow through this so that in the long run, it may not be your initial thought, But then you realize, you know what? Ah, God may use this to help me help someone else who goes through the same kind of situation. So God has purpose. I trust you're encouraged by these truths so that we can look at them and say, you know what? God is for us. And He's with us. And He's in us in whatever situation we face. Let's ask for His help as we believe and trust Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these truths. Thank You for Your help. You have, through Your Word, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, come alongside us, even here today. You are here, and You've helped us with these truths. May they encourage and strengthen us and help us through whatever it is that we face. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe here this morning there's someone here, there's little doubt in my mind, you're going through a real difficulty. I trust you're encouraged as you take these principles to heart. There may be someone else that you realize, you know what, God's allowing me to go through this to open my eyes to my need for salvation. I've never trusted Christ. I need to come to Jesus. I don't know how God may use His Word here this morning, but I encourage everyone to fill out a connection card from the pew in front of you or through YouVersion, through our website, and jot down how God has spoken to you through His Word here today. If it's personal and private, jot down for pastors only. There's a little box there. You can check that. We'll be praying for you, and if we can help you, get with us. I'll be available after the service when Jeremy asks us to stand and sing. You're welcome to come forward after communion. We'll have someone pray with you, or after the service, I'd be willing to talk with you about these things.